So you've come here for the truth. Well, we've got the truth and nothing but the truth. Here are your hosts, Robert A. Bianchi and David J. Bruno.
Welcome to WMTR Radio's Nothing But the Truth with your hosts, Bob Bianchi and Dave Bruno. It is a show about mindset. Two lawyers from New Jersey talking about mindset, but like we like to say, Dave, not all the time is about mindset, but a lot of times about mindset. And even though it's the show about law, it's not just not about law, but it's not lawless, because we do have some pretty amazing lawyers that wind up being guests, and I think that's going to be true today.
You know what I was thinking actually today too? Mindset is about law.
Mindset is about law.
I mean, mindset is a conversation. We talk about this all the time, but you have to bring the mindset into the advocacy. So
if you don't have the right, if you don't have the right mindset on anything, but in particular the law, just dealing with a major court appearance today, and mindset was what it was all about. Mindset for myself, mindset for my client, trying to gauge the mindset of the adversary. So, all right, Dave, I will retract the statement. That's what he wants me to do, retract the statement. Retract it.
Yeah, and although we're not talking about law, we do have three lawyers on the show today. It's not just me, you, Bob. We also have Alexis Johnson. And she is a business and commercial real estate attorney. She is the founder of AFJ Law Group. And she is hailing from Michigan, the great state of Michigan. And one of the reasons that she's on today is she does do a great job of LinkedIn, but this is not a conversation about LinkedIn. This is a conversation about mindset, and she brings it. She brings it every day. She's got the quotes out there. The engagement is through the roof, Alexis. So we got a lot to talk about, but welcome to Nothing But the Truth. We appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to this conversation.
Well, thank you guys so much. I'm really excited to be here.
So, all right, I'm going to start. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Since I don't know her as well as you do, but I will say this. Dave speaks very highly of you and the stuff that you post out there. And Dave's very big in LinkedIn. In fact, he's going to be giving a seminar shortly this weekend in Austin, Texas on LinkedIn. And mindset. I've always been very big on mindset. And I always enjoyed the space of discussing mindset. And usually the way I used to do it was in a brick and mortar way. That's what I used to call it. Colleges would have me come on campus and, all sorts of different places, business community, whatever, especially when I was the prosecutor and then afterwards. What I find something that I would like to have been able to have done better, and maybe you guys are in this space right now, is that I've been able to take my messages about mindset, which I think are so crucial to your professional life and your personal life, and now I don't have geographical fences around me because of tools like LinkedIn. It's just I kind of feel like I'm starting late. Talk to me about that.
So I don't think that there's ever too late of a time to start on LinkedIn. I think that we're seeing a lot more social media posting generally, especially after COVID. And I know for me in particular, coming from a big law environment to starting my own practice, my ability to spread the message or awareness about things like mindset or, just getting your general messaging out there as a business owner, it's really increased because I have more control over the content that I post. And so I don't think there's ever too late of a time to start. I think the only mistake you can make is thinking that it's too late to start.
Okay. And just one follow-up question with that. When we started Bianchi Law Group, we had an inspirational blog. We still have it on our website. And we would write inspirational, I'd say mindset-ish kind of stuff. And the reaction back in 2012 and 13 was, lawyers don't do that. What is that? What does a lawyer have to? And now all of a sudden there's a proliferation of this, I think. Talk to us about, do you do the mindset thing more from a personal perspective or a business perspective?
So it's kind of both because, having a firm, your business is personal. It's my baby. And the purpose of my content really, to be totally honest with you guys, was to put out content that I wish I saw as, a law student, as an associate attorney, as someone unsure of what practice area they wanted to be, as someone interested in starting a business owner, and as just a human being. So, I think that there's no way that you can kind of have these defined roles if you're being truly authentic, which is really my mission and goal from starting my own practice. So I think maybe you were a little ahead of your time when you were posting, you know, back in, you know, 12 years or so ago, because I agree with you that I felt even a little resistance of my own when I first started to post. I was like, is this going to affect me getting clients? Like, are people going to be like, wait a minute, she's not a bulldog, you know, robot, get in court and get the win. And it doesn't matter what happens. She's not affected. But I've actually found the opposite, and that people resonate more, especially because my clientele is business owners. They've been in a lot of the positions that I talk about. They face a lot of the things, the feelings and emotions that I post about. So I think now there's just more of an acceptance that we're all at the end of the day, just human beings. And that's a universal experience that shouldn't be limited by profession.
Wow, awesome answer.
Yeah, you know, you come from a family of lawyers. I've read your bio, and you were in the courtroom as a kindergartner, as a small child, with your mother, who was an attorney. And Bob, his father was an attorney, one of the best trial lawyers in the state of New Jersey. And Bob talks about that experience as well, about reading transcripts on the dining room table when all the other kids were going to Disney. So I wonder, as a young child, watching your mother in those situations, how did it mold your path forward as a lawyer?
So that's a great question, and it's probably not going to be an answer that you would expect, because I was vehemently against being a lawyer. Growing up with a mom that was a lawyer, I had a dad that he was a business owner, but he really should have been a lawyer because he was so interested in the law. And I heard my whole life, you know, you're going to go to law school just like your mom. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And then my brother, who's actually my twin brother, he ended up going to law school before me. So I was really opposed to being a lawyer, especially I think because my mom does family law, which is just not something I want to do. I did work for the family business when I was, you know, in school as a clerk, and I realized even more how much I did not want to do family law. So it actually pushed me away from the practice of law. And I spent a number of years after undergrad in marketing. So I had like a marketing consultant firm. I also worked in the public sector for Oakland County, which is the county that my firm is in, government, developing like a public relations arm for their animal control department. And I really enjoyed that, but I found myself, you know, kind of gravitating towards the animal cruelty investigations and kind of assisting with that process and getting things to the prosecutor. And I started to realize that maybe my, you know, defiance against the legal practice was more just from an adolescent mindset. And I was actually really interested in the law, just not family law, which I still maintain I am not. And then I came full circle and went to law school, and here I am.
Yeah, that makes three of us on the family law for sure. Criminal defense, domestic violence, municipal court for us. And there's so much overlap too.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, there's a ton of overlap. And it impacts both types of cases. You know, if you have an active family law case and then you get DV or something like that, yeah, it can really impact custody. And
So it's true then that in your bio that we see here that you eventually became referred to as the hammer. You know, based on that experience with your mom. And it's really funny. I don't know if I have a question about this, but maybe just an observation to see whether or not you agree with it. Like Dave said, I grew up in the same environment. My dad was like a prolific trial attorney. It's the truth. I was reading murder transcripts as early as I can remember reading things. And maybe today they consider that child abuse. But nevertheless, I grew up every day listening to about trials. And the first time I tried a case, I'll never forget it, and I cross-examined the witness, somebody was like, God, I have never seen a guy, I think they may have used the word hammer, this is like struck me, a witness like that. And you come to realize after a while, you grew up in this environment, and what you took for granted, or you think other people know, they just don't know because they didn't grow up in that environment. I mean, did you kind of experience that too, that you had an aptitude, like it was in your DNA, that other individuals just didn't have?
Yes. And I think a lot of that honestly is going, you know, being involved with the cases, like you said, with your dad, but also physically going to the court and interacting with judges, interacting with the officers and deputies, you know, the judges, clerks. It kind of takes away the experience of it being so intimidating when you're a brand new attorney who may have only gone to court for your swearing in, you know, prior to that. Because you sort of recognize that these are all individuals that are doing a job, and your job is to communicate your client's position in the best way possible to get them to decide in your favor. Whereas, you know, I think other people are more intimidated by, you know, there's obviously the hierarchy, there's all these, you know, unspoken rules that you don't learn about in law school on, you know, how to sign in for a case, what you do if you have to be in another courtroom at the same time, like things that we all take for granted now as practicing attorneys, but are extremely intimidating to someone who's just entering the courtroom for the first time. And I think that having that experience at a younger level, even subconsciously, where I didn't actually recognize I was talking to judges that were deciding people's literal fate, you know, it did help me in that way.
I think that goes, there could be an element, Dave, of that in mindset that we always talk about.
Yeah.
So much has to do with confidence. What she's talking about is confidence. Like
Yes.
me too. I had confidence because I had a ruler to measure that other people didn't have.
I want to speak to this too. I've been talking about this fairly regularly as well, in that I think we are in a society of instant gratification. And people think that there's shortcuts everywhere and they're looking for them. They see them on Instagram and all the platforms. They're looking for the quick fixes. But in reality, that experience is critical. It is, especially for our career, our attorneys. And sometimes it's difficult to get the experience. I mean, candidly speaking, it's hard at times. You guys are very fortunate to be growing up and watching it. But when you actually become the lawyer, how do you get it? Where do you get it? Sometimes it's tough to get. And I think that that's critical at the very beginning of people's career to put in the work, put in the grind and get the experience, get on your feet and get used to this environment. Because there's not going to be a quick fix, or there's not going to be that instant gratification that I believe a lot of people are looking for.
So we're going to talk about how to get that confidence, even if you haven't grown up like we both have with parents as attorneys or in what other profession on the other end. But we have to take a quick break. We're on WMTR Radio. So about the truth, we'll be right back.
At the Bianchi Law Group, our team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys specialize in criminal defense and domestic violence cases. When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.
All right, welcome back to WMTR Radio. It's not the truth. Bob Bianchi, Dave Bruno. Let's get right to it. Alexis, we were at a point, we were talking about confidence, and we had that ability to have some more confidence than most people. And boy, there's just, I've always said the slightest difference between good and great is that little difference that you have, that little je ne sais quoi, which may come down to confidence. What you guys have that, and you have both, is we have an opportunity at the internet, right?
Yes.
We can see trial. I remember when I started, when I want to see a trial, Judge Wapner from the People's Court. That's right. I'm dating myself. If you don't know who Judge Wapner, he was the OG, the OG of court TV. And I would run and get a donut from my college thing, go get my little juice, and I go and I watch Judge Wapner. Now, but that was just like TV judging. Now you can watch like Law and Crime Network or Court TV or go on YouTube or get CLEs. Everywhere you can be trained. We never had that opportunity. What
Yeah.
do you think?
I mean, I agree with you. I also think that if you utilize the law school experience, I mean, I was on the national mock trial team in law school. There's also the appellate level mock trial. So if you do that from law school, you at least get like an entry level experience of, you know, running a trial, being graded by trial attorneys, by, you know, actual judges. I judge a lot of trial competitions for high school and law school now, you know, so there's a lot more opportunity, I would say, in the schooling system. But also when you're starting out as an associate, especially if you're at a firm, don't be afraid to reach out for mentorship. That is something that I was very fortunate to have at the first firm that I worked at, where you can go shadow trials, you can be involved, you know, on the trial prep team, and, you know, have that initiative to make it known that that's your goal, that you want to do trial work as opposed to like transactional or just kind of being an associate climbing the partner rung. You know, put that initiative out there. And a lot of times it's really well received.
That's great advice.
Alexis, I also read that at the beginning of starting your firm, you also did some pool work in the criminal part as well, where you took on some assignments of criminally charged defendants. Tell me about that experience, because that is very different than what you're doing now.
It is very different. And it's funny because criminal law was one of my favorite law school classes, but in practice, it is not one of my favorite practice areas. It is a tough field. So my hat goes off to you guys for doing that. But, you know, when I started my practice, I basically, you know, I didn't have a book of business. So, you know, I didn't have any loans. I didn't have family support. So I didn't have money coming in. And typically your options are doing, you know, doc review or court appointed work. So I chose court appointed work to still be in the courtroom and, you know, kind of hone my trial skills. And it was a lot different. Your clients, you know, are all different walks of life with all different issues. It's, you know, focused a lot on evidentiary and procedural, which is really important in any area of law. But it kind of allowed me to sort of learn how to roll with the punches, where you're in court and something comes up that you weren't even aware of, or where you haven't been able to talk to your client until the hearing about 5 minutes before. And, you know, attorneys have to think quickly on their feet. And I would say that that is one of the biggest takeaways that I got from that experience, is, you know, really learning how to think quickly and respond to whatever's thrown at me.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the reasons why I love criminal law, and not everybody can do it. You've got to be quick on your feet. It's not for the faint of heart. You learn a lot about human nature, and you have an opportunity. This is what I really love, and Dave and myself have developed a practice where we're not just trying to deliver excellent legal results, but these people are typically broken, mentally ill, addicted, combination of those things, going through the worst part of their lives. And I think that there is such a lost opportunity from those who train, and many do, that your job is, quote unquote, just to be a lawyer, not to be a psychiatrist. That's what they would say. And I think, no, there's a lot to be said for the fact that we have the ability every day to emotionally support somebody going through the worst time in their life. I find that very satisfying. Is that kind of like in the area you saw as well?
I agree with that. And I also want to add, because I did get some pushback from people, you know, how can you represent, you know, criminal defendants accused of various things? And I only handled the misdemeanor level. I didn't get into like felonies or anything like that. But the main role that I learned for a criminal defense attorney, and maybe you guys would agree or, you know, disagree, but it's to ensure that they have their constitutional rights afforded to them. It's not our job, you know, to make, you know, judgment or determination on someone's actions. It's to just make sure that they have those protections and to, you know, zealously advocate for them, just as you would any client. You know, even in the civil sphere, you're going to have clients that maybe did things that they aren't proud of, or they shouldn't have done, or they regret doing. And you still have to make sure that they have the procedural rights, but it's even more so important in the criminal sphere.
Yeah, I honestly think, I say this to Dave all the time, we have this unique thing where we have one of the greatest constitutional protections known to the history of the law, the right to remain silent and to be represented by an attorney. Dave is very big on talking about the awesome responsibility lawyers have to be the quote unquote mouthpiece, to speak for another human being. But by the same token, that adversarial system prevents prosecutors from getting to know our clients the way I wish they could get to know them. Because if they could get to know them the way we did, they'd realize, wow, maybe we don't need to hit a fly with a sledgehammer. Maybe we could take a different, you know, approach. So I think both sides are crucially necessary. I just wish we could collaborate a little bit more.
Yeah. A lot of opportunity for collaboration. I mean, you know, I've noticed that you like throwing out those Eminem quotes on your LinkedIn. You know, from Michigan, he's from Detroit, probably definitely a superstar coming out of Detroit. And I wonder, you know, how did you start with that type of quote, those quotes, and how does it fit into that content creation strategy of yours?
So, you know, I'm from Michigan, but I have listened to Eminem since I was probably 12 years old, which is way too young to be listening to Eminem. But I found his music something that I could relate to when I was going through challenging times as an adolescent. And throughout my life, I've just found certain song lyrics of his to relate to various stages of my life. And I like to be as authentic as possible on LinkedIn. I don't pretend to be, you know, just some overnight success or just, you know, someone that's a robot that has no emotions. I like to share about challenges. And so a lot of ways that I can have my content be relatable, I think, is through quotes that are from songs that I actually listen to and have resonated with me.
Yeah. One of the posts that you recently published was, "A dream can be a distraction just as easy as it can be a goal." Why can you articulate why you wrote that?
So that is a quote from a show called Abbott. It's about a high school or elementary school where teachers are working. So it's a quote from a character on there. And I am known to like hear something and I'll jot it in my notes app as a quote. So I know I'm going to write a post about it. So that's exactly what I did there. I don't remember who said it on that show, but I want to give credit to, you know, the person who said it. And I say that because having a dream is great. But if you aren't taking the action and initiative to make it a reality, then it's really just a distraction, right? I mean, I talk to people all the time who are thinking about starting a business, dreaming about it. You know, they have all these ideas of how it's going to be. And I think some of that is they go on social media, they see entrepreneurhood, you know, as entrepreneurial being very glamorized, and they're not really doing anything about it. And so I think that, you know, instead of just having the dream, you have to, you know, make the dream into something else, right? So you have the choice and the ability to do that. It's just what choice are you going to make?
Yeah. Now these quotes, I mean, do you create a list? Do you have a list of things that you know you're going to use? Or is that really just every day you come up with something new?
Sometimes I will write a post like the night before and schedule it if it kind of strikes me, but I don't like to get into the schedule or, you know, trying to force myself to write. I've met with a number of people that say I sit down every Sunday and I write all my content for the next 3 weeks. That's just not the way that my brain works. So usually if you see a post from me, it's been written very close in time to it being posted. And I can't say that that's going to be something that I maintain forever. But for me, it's usually I'll be going on a walk or, you know, I'll hear a quote like, you know, like that TV show, or I'll be at a conference and I hear something and I jot it in my notes app and then I come back to it, or I write the entire post out and I just post it right after. Like a post I wrote today, I posted literally, you know, right when I wrote it, a couple hours before this interview.
Now you take these walks, right? Is that a regular routine of yours that you've baked into your habit?
Yes. So I was a distance runner for a long time. I ran 5 marathons. 3 of them were like during law school time. And then, you know, you start learning running's not the greatest for you. So I'm more now into cycling or going for walks. And in the summer, I mean, in Michigan, we don't always have the greatest weather, but I do like to try and take a walk most mornings. Helps me kind of get in the right mindset. You know, it helps me think about cases if I have one that just I'm really trying to, you know, ferret out and strategize. And a lot of times a post will come out of it too. So I will be actively writing in my notes app sometimes, like if I'm at a stoplight and I get inspired. But yeah, if I could walk every day, I probably would.
Well, Dave's looking at me, and I'm looking at you.
We're all looking at each other.
We're looking at each other. No, but I'm thinking. I had a million questions I wanted to ask you, especially about the interrelationship between mindset, business, and your LinkedIn platform. But I don't think we need to do that. I think that you're going to tell me it's all interconnected and part of the authentic you that you are. And so you guys were just going back for the last couple of questions. I just couldn't help but think, and maybe it's a good time to end the show because we are at that time, that you've inspired me to do what Dave has been saying about LinkedIn and working that more. So we don't – that's good. That's good. But what's more inspirational to me is I'm looking at you here and listening to you and thinking about if it wasn't for that platform, we wouldn't have been able to be meeting you and having a wonderful conversation with somebody in a completely different part of the country. You might as well be in a completely different part of the world, and how powerful this technology can be to bring good people and like-minded people together. And for that, I'm very grateful that you came onto the show.
And I am too. I've been, you know, a fan of Dave's post for a while. And so I was so honored when he wrote me and asked me to come on. So it's been such a really special conversation with you guys, and I'm glad that we were able to connect, and I'm looking forward to seeing your LinkedIn posts.
Okay, well, pressure's on.
Oh, the pressure is on.
Well, I'm glad you said one thing, because Dave wants to give 20 motivational quotes and 20 Throwback Thursdays or whatever. I'm prone to exaggeration. and I got them all ready to go. So let's link up and connect, and you'll be seeing them.
LinkedIn. Before we conclude, and this is going to go a little over, we'll cut it. But LinkedIn just came out with a brand new feature with video, and they are now trying to compete with TikTok and Instagram Reels. And, you know, I feel two ways about that. You know, LinkedIn has always been a different place. It's a place for professionals. This is a professional network. This is the place where we can connect, where we connect with other lawyers in our jurisdiction. We gather the strategic partners to help each other in areas that we do not practice. But I worry with this new function that LinkedIn has thrown into the mix, which kind of looks like TikTok. I wonder how it's going to fall upon the professionals, given the difference it has been with the other platforms. I wonder your thoughts, Alexis, before we conclude.
So, you know, I really think that, I mean, we've seen that with Instagram, Facebook tried to do something like that. YouTube has a similar thing. And it seems like from past, you know, experience, I don't see it becoming some, you know, version of TikTok. TikTok is very, you know, specific. You know, as I have a TikTok page for the firm, and it's a lot sillier than LinkedIn, as you said, because LinkedIn is different. I don't see it, you know, kind of translating the same. I think that all of these social media channels are struggling to compete with each other, because depending on, you know, what flavor of the month is what. But ultimately, I think that you're not going to have the same people that are frequenting TikTok translating over to LinkedIn to post the same type of content. I don't know. I could be wrong, and I'll be happy to come back on here in 2 years and say I was wrong, but I just don't see it translating the same way, you know?
Yeah. No, it will be interesting to see how it integrates. What it looks like is it's going to be repurposing videos. So any other videos that are in the feed are going to also be displayed. And one of the good things that I see them doing as well is there's a video button on the bottom. And so if you want video, you can go and hit the video button as opposed to the normal feed. But LinkedIn is Microsoft, and Microsoft has been dumping so much money into it. Its revenue has been up. We're starting to hear these LinkedIn ads about B2B ads and things like that. So it is the platform for any business owners, any professionals, lawyers, doctors, anybody that's listening to us that's not on the platform. I strongly advocate for joining it. It's not too late, Bob. It's not too late for you, and it's not too late for everybody else, because that is the platform for professionals. It's a great way to connect.
I just put my request in for Alexis F. Johnson, who is a second, and guess who's one of her mutual connections?
David Brew.
Look at that beautiful picture.
Boom! That's how we do.
Thanks, Alexis. Awesome. Listen, WMTR Radio, sent by The Truth, Bob Bianchi, Dave Bruner, Saturday at 9:30, the radio show, the podcast, Dave.
NothingButTheTruthPodcast.com. We're not only putting this on the radio, but we're also taking video. And after it airs on Saturdays, we are posting it into the podcast platforms as well as YouTube. The video series will be up, but everything could be seen on NothingButTheTruthPodcast.com. Alexis, thank you for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
We're the Bianchi Law Group, a team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys. Right,
but here's the thing. He put himself in a box when he said my
relied on by CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Law and Crime, and news leaders across the country for our criminal defense expertise.
In a search warrant, you have to have probable cause that a crime's been committed and there's evidence in a particular place.
When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.